This is a comedy podcast! None of it's real!
So, hey, guys, welcome again to this episode of Partners in Crime, an exploration of weird, unethical, and less legal side hustles, specifically usually targeted at arts workers, because that's just all the people I know. I am Sean O'Brien.
And I'm Kelly McDonald. And with us today, we have a very special guest.
One of these days, we'll have a less special guest. We're going to have just a regular ass guest, and they're going to feel shit.
And today we just have a guest.
We have a run-of-the-mill fuck. We have a mediocre guest.
I always feel like that comment should come at the end, so you can just be like, "Yeah, we apologize for this guest. They've been exactly what we expected they would be."
We bet a lot on this guest, and it turned out that we really shouldn't have.
We gotta stop going to like the 99-cent store for our guest. We gotta up our. Our production.
Introduce yourself, guest.
Oh,
hello.
Yeah.
My name is Dane Johnston. I am tangentially related to the podcast via boyfriend relationship status with Kelly. I don't know if you're supposed to say that on a podcast. I hear it both ways. It's like you always want your guest to appear single.
Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. I'll get out of the way now. I'm probably going to pepper in all sorts of Simpsons references. So it's going to be like the Beast Sharps episode where, you know, they want Homer to be single. So women will want to sleep with him. Yeah.
So for a variety of reasons, this is about to be the most problematic and difficult to listen to episode we've ever done.
You're welcome.
So we're going to do something a little different by exploring what I'm going to refer to as a retro side hustle.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, we want our comedy podcast about weird, unethical, and less legal side hustles to give you some practical advice, for sure. Ignoring that disclaimer that we play at the beginning of every single episode about how this is a comedy podcast in which none of this is real. Putting that in a box for a second, you can always learn from the past. You know, you can learn from those jobs that don't really exist anymore, but maybe somebody can make a pass at bringing it back. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, I do. Sorry. My mic was on mute so I could burp and then I couldn't unmute it. But yes, I know exactly what you mean.
Well, the saying
we're
is
professionals.
If we don't know our past, we're doomed to repeat it. But the counterpoint to that is sometimes knowing your past lets you in on all sorts of new tricks that people aren't aware of anymore.
Exactly. All right. So for this reason, we are going to spend this episode talking about the job of witch hunter.
Ooh, witch hunter. Okay. I like it.
First the panhandling episode and now this. What have I become? So you may be asking the question, but why though?
I'm not, but I should be.
Very true.
My mind is down a path where I think this is making sense, but I'm curious.
Okay, well, I appreciate your faith, which is also a central tenet of witch hunting. So here's the deal. We are not talking about this in the present tense. This is why I'm referring to it as a retro side hustle, because unfortunately, some parts of the world continue to practice literal witch hunting. Many places in sub-Saharan Africa, South Central Asia, and of course, paragon of women's rights, Saudi Arabia.
Huh.
But in our corner of the world, witchcraft has actually become a very widely practiced hobby. So getting into the witch hunting business would be difficult for a number of reasons. Particularly,
I feel like it'd be super easy. You just go down to your local, like, weird shop and, like, probably anyone that looks like they belong there, witch.
And then you start a fire.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Burn the place down. And you're not wrong, but we're talking about how can you make money, right? How can you make this into a job?
You rob them first, and then you light them on fire.
If you want to recreationally hunt witches, just go to like a local Greenpeace rally or something. You're going to find some crunchy people that happen to use crystals, right? Like this is not something that's difficult to track down now.
Walk to the nearest person with dreadlocks and say, "Are you a witch?" They'll say, "No, I'm a Wiccan." And you say, "Yeah, you're a witch. Perfect. I'm hunting you now."
I think nowadays I think nowadays the catch-all term is neo-pagan.
Oh.
right?
Oh, really?
And yeah, and it's a widely, you know, this, I mean, and think about all the people that just are like openly talking about their signs on Facebook, right?
Fair point.
I talk about my sign a lot. Does that make me a witch?
Yes, actually.
I figured it out.
This has all been a sting. Dane, right, get her.
Hold on. If I'm a witch hunter and I'm a witch, I'm hunting myself. Done and done. Oh, I don't have any money. Damn it.
Oh, shoot. Dang. You're the blade of this podcast now.
Always have been, Sean. Always have been.
No, that's just Wesley Snipes.
The reason. So apart from the fact that witchcraft in the sense that traditional witch hunters would hunt doesn't exist, and also even those practicing witchcraft, what they're doing is it's not real. And for that reason in particular, the law forbidding witchcraft in Canada, which had been around since the 1800s, was later amended in the 1950s to add the word fraudulently.
Oh.
Right, as though it's a criminal offense to fraudulently do witchcraft, which is a, you know, belongs neatly in the Department of Redundancy Department.
You never know. If I can intercede right here as an ugly American who has no idea about the rest of the world, we had a bit of a problem with witch hunters in our country for a time where, you know, innocent women would be burnt at the stake. Were there similar things going on in Canada at any point throughout your history?
So not really. That was more of a Puritan New World kind of thing for a bit. Also in like South America, there were some pretty widespread witch hunts. I don't think it ever radiated to Canada necessarily, but that's because of the chronology of settlement more than anything else. Also, no burnings actually occurred. Sorry to be pedantic about that.
Yeah, hangings should have been the correct nomenclature. I apologize.
No worries. I mean, if I had to choose my method of execution and it was down to those two things, I know which I would prefer.
Well, which would you prefer?
The burning, of course, because it's metal as fuck.
Oh, okay, good. I need to know this for my future endeavors of robbing you. I mean, what? Nothing.
See, I'm the counterpoint. I go for hanging because it's done quick as long as they do it right.
Yeah, as long as they do it right, exactly. You're putting a lot of trust in your executioner at that point.
They're professionals. It's fine.
And actually, even the Canadian law has since been repealed. In 2018.
Wait, what? 2018? That was 3 years ago. I can do math.
It was like in fall 2018. And this was after a pretty widely publicized story where a couple of women had actually been charged under this law.
What?
including
in modern
one
time. Wow.
Again, fraudulently is the key here. One was a woman named Dory Medina Stevenson, and the other was Samantha Stevenson from Toronto, the latter of which had actually gotten a 67-year-old man to sell his house and then transfer the $600,000 he made off the sale into her bank account as part of the removal of an evil spirit from the house.
Okay. Oh, okay. I'm on board now. I see where you're going.
Yeah. She didn't give him the money back.
Surprise, surprise.
Yes, so they charged her under this law of fraudulent witchcraft. And also, I gotta throw in this actual quote from the Washington Post article about this. Quote, officials are looking into whether the women are related or if their identical surnames are just a spooky coincidence.
I was gonna make a comment about that.
Yeah, like one was in Milton, one was in Toronto. There's... I didn't end up following up to find out whether or not they were relatives.
Brilliant. What is it, Stevenson's? Stevens?
Yeah, they were both named Stevenson.
Oh, okay. So if anyone out there with that last name or surname, you're a witch.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And later that year, of course, like I said, the law was repealed, along with other zombie laws, including laws prohibiting challenging someone to a duel.
Wait, is that part of the zombie law or is that separate?
So essentially it was this omnibus bill that the current federal government had sort of like blanket, like, cool, here's a bunch of zombie laws that are either redundant, actively unconstitutional, or just like there's no need for this to be there anymore, right?
So they just put a pile of these zombies.
No, actually, I don't want to talk to you when you're like this.
Well, I'm just saying, we're talking about witches here, and now there's zombie laws, and I'm like, you're like, you can't duel. I'm like, so does that mean I can't duel a zombie? Is that what that law specifically means? I need to
know. Okay, you don't give the zombie a fighting chance. You shoot them right in the head.
Oh. Well, that's unsportsmanlike, so you at least have to give them their own sword.
Hey, they're coming at you with numbers. You got to take whatever advantages you want, okay?
all right. So not actual zombies, but like
the laws dead were laws. Dead law. Yeah, these were dead laws that needed to be put down, like a dirty zombie that needs to just be shot in the head without a fighting chance to eat you back or something. I don't. Why am I the bad guy in this? What just happened?
you just got witched, son. My last name is Stevenson. Sons. God damn it.
Yeah. So yes, among the other zombie laws were those, again, prohibiting challenging someone to a duel, which means you can challenge someone to a duel again.
Oh, that's good.
I feel like that came up recently. I only saw it in passing in the news in America where somebody wanted to do trial by combat. I looked away because the absurdity of it all was just too much for me. I can't.
$5 says that the article headline began with Florida man.
Almost certainly.
You ever play the Florida Man game, by the way?
No.
You enter Florida Man in your birthday and you'd see what Florida Man did on your birthday.
Back in the day, they used to have a show called Loveline. It was a radio show. And Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew were the hosts. And one of the events that they would do was a game called Florida or Germany, where they would read an absurd story and the caller would have to guess if it was a story from Florida or Germany.
Okay. Interesting. How did that go?
There's a shocking amount of absurdity that comes out of every place in the world, apparently.
Well, that's good to know. One thing I actually heard about the Florida situation that kind of makes a lot of sense is the reason we get so much of these news stories out of Florida is actually because of an obscure state law where whenever the police arrest somebody, they have to issue a press release.
Huh. What?
So it's not necessarily that there's more crazy people doing horrible things in Florida. It's just that we know about them.
It's a little bit different than that, actually. Everything, including arrest records or arrest reports, are public record in Florida. So what happens is you have these tabloid type, quote unquote, news institutions that will just be on the blotter and going through the reports and finding the most absurd stories that they can see. And those get posted as Florida Man stories because their Freedom of Information Act, or their take on the Freedom of Information Act, allowed for all of this information to come out the instant that it happens, rather than
Nobody has to ask for the info; they just have to look.
Yeah, which in this age of internet information access could potentially taint a jury pool, but you know, it's Florida; they don't really care about due process, I guess.
And now we're back to being like, but also Florida. I'm not just going to isolate sort of Canada in the weird witchcraft laws category, because there are actually laws in the U.S. in certain states against things like tarot card reading or fortune telling. But again, the spirit of those laws seems to predominantly be keeping people from ripping others off.
That seems fair and what laws probably should do.
Yeah.
You would think so, right?
I would think so, yes.
So here I am, researching host of a side hustle-based podcast. Real modern witch hunts are terrible. Witchcraft, real or fraudulent, for money, just turns out to be another scam side hustle episode, and we can't just make this whole podcast survive forever off of an endless parade of different flavored scams.
Wait, what? We can't go on forever like this, Sean? No.
Well, eventually we die.
You can tell me Santa Claus isn't real next, and I'm going to lose my shit.
Well, no, specifically, not
me. I got a witch on that.
No, he's real for now, but really? I've taken out a bounty on him. So give it a few months.
Sean versus Santa Claus.
So we're going to look at the historical profession of witch hunting in the European North American sense, because that way we can have a little bit more fun about it as opposed to reflect on just the terrible atrocities that are committed against women and minorities around the world. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over the history, a few basic techniques. And for those of you who are hoping to bring it back, first of all, don't do that. But if you're going to do it, we're going to try to leave you with some tips of how to get your horrible, evil side hustle off the ground.
I got a new marketing idea for us. It's going to be a shirt and it says Witch Hunter on the front. And on the back, it says I'm taking it back. Or I'm bringing it back. Excuse me. I'm bringing it back.
So, all right, let's get into history. So, people have been afraid of magic users for basically all of recorded history. But it's important to recognize that the view of magic as inherently evil mostly emerged, at least in Europe, in the 11th century, when the woman in town known for providing herbal remedies came to be seen as a heretic in league with the devil.
Well, yeah. You make one man mad, and then all of a sudden you're a witch.
Yep. Because up until that point, you know, magic and sorcery and these kind of things were just kind of considered also a thing. Like, there was just an understanding that you could do magic for unclear reasons, and
like,
it could
magic,
be used for
mean
good
like
or ill.
Illusion, or do you mean, like, I'm mixing things together and now it kind of bubbles because of science?
I'm talking about things like fortune telling, right? Like being able to like predict the future. Astrology, again, I'm going to turn to that a lot because it's a very, very simple, basic example of that's technically a form of what they're talking about when they're talking about like these big heresies, right? Because only God and yada, yada, yada.
Okay.
Yeah. Also manipulating weather patterns, right? Like one thing that witches in Europe were often accused of was causing crop failure, slaughtering animals, that kind of thing. The thing that these rural communities were really most concerned about, right?
Right. And I mean, we all know now that it was really a chupacabra that was really doing it, right?
Only in Mexico?
No. See, that's a little known, unknown fact, is chupacabras are all over the world, not just in Mexico.
Oh,
yeah, they were actually native to the European continent, and then they came over with Leif Erikson and migrated south.
So the first chupacabras landed in fucking Newfoundland?
Yes.
And they got out.
Oh my god. It's that scene from the beginning of Jurassic Park. They were trying to get this box up against a thing without locking it in place. A chupacabra killed a guy and ran away.
Yes, that's exactly
what
happened. And I mean, I'm just saying, all of this could have been prevented.
So you've connected everything I'm about to describe back to chupa fucking cabra.
Oh, I'm a genius.
Why did I bother doing any research for this episode? We've got this shit fixed.
I mean, like, you should have asked me. I'm an expert here.
So over the next few centuries in Europe and eventually in the New World, magic became more and more tied to the devil, to Satan. In 1374, Pope Gregory the 11th declared that all magic was done with the aid of demons and thus was open to prosecution for heresy. And then things really took a turn a little over 100 years later when Pope Innocent the 8th, that's what that Roman numeral says, issued the papal bull condemning witchcraft as Satanism, which basically made it the highest crime there was, according to, you know, the Catholic Church. And then 2 years after that, so 1486, Heinrich Kramer, a.k.a. Institoris, published the Malleus Maleficarum, a.k.a. the Hammer of Witches.
The
hell of a title.
That's amazing.
Pretty fucking metal, right? Like, the Hammer of Witches, the Malleus Maleficarum. This became essentially the handbook for medieval European witch hunters. It lays out detailed discourses on what witches can and can't do and why God allows them to exist in the first place, followed by instructions on how to hunt, put on trial, and execute them. Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's good.
It also happens to be the book that most firmly identified witches as being mainly women.
Oh, okay. So what did the book say about, like, why did, what justification did it give for witches, like, from God? Do you know that?
So, yeah, he spends a lot of it, because I've read the whole thing, and he spent, for a different project, oddly enough, and so I had all these notes, and I'm like, well, I may as well make a podcast episode about witch hunting as a side hustle.
I like it.
And I don't recommend reading it. It's, first off, it's a truly evil book, and it's also boring. So
most evil books really are. I mean,
that's how you hide it, honestly. You just make it dull. So here's the thing. In his justification, when he talked about, like, why God allows witches to happen, because you have to jump through some mental hoops to explain how witches and evil spirits and demons can do stuff, because God is supposed to be omnipotent, omniscient, and omnibenevolent, right?
Right.
So, so if demons and witches can actually influence the material world, that means that there are limits to God's power and sight, which is a heretical thought to have back in those days.
Still is to some people.
That's still true. Is to some people, but fortunately not like the predominant political powers, which is nice. Fewer executions happen as a result of that idea? Definitely fewer, trust me.
Okay, I'll give you fewer.
It's not none, but it's fewer.
We're getting better. We're on the right road.
We're getting better.
I wouldn't go that far, Dane, but definitely. We're on a lull. We're on a lull right now. So the idea is that God, and by the way, these discourses go around and around and around in circles. There's a whole, like, of the three chapters, the second one is pretty much almost devoted to this idea. And he kind of explains it with the idea that God wants there to be tests of people's faith in the world, right? Like, there's got to be free will. There's got to be choice. You know, people have to have the choice to become witches. They have to have the choice to do evil magic. And people have to be able to suffer the effects of evil magic as sort of a, you know, one of the many trials of their faith and willingness to kind of endure the shittiness of the world, because bear in mind, this was medieval fucking Europe.
My love is not free. You must prove it. Time and time again. Crawl through the mud.
Some would describe that as an abusive relationship, but fuck do I know, right?
shut your pie hole, Sean.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I am completely in your thrall. Okay.
Wait,
so that's
is that
kind
why
of...
you got Dane on here? Because Dane's like the witch hunter, and obviously, clearly, the female here got to be the witch.
Yeah, aww, Dane, Dane, I can't kill her. You have to do it for me.
We're going to go over that a little bit later on, right? Because I'm taking notes. Just saying.
Yeah, no, like, I'm going to give instructions. We're going to get to that part. You know, we don't leave an episode of Artners without practical advice, okay?
That's right.
It's important to recognize that the phenomenon that we still have today of witches being women is not how it was always envisioned. The book, even that book, because it was written in Latin, had two different nouns, the maleficus and maleficarus. Anyway, I studied Latin for 2 years in high school. Leave me the fuck alone.
I studied it no years, and I could say you said it perfectly.
But the point is, in Latin and Latin-based language, there were different gendered words for a witch, essentially, whereas in English we only have the one, and we settled on women. Make sense?
Yeah,
gotcha.
You weren't wrong.
But
I know women, and let me tell you, you're wrong.
But the reason we arrived at women was largely because of this book. This book was popular. It was influential. And it killed a lot of people.
If they didn't, like, specify the gender, how things would have shaped up historically.
It's difficult to say. There's a lot of unanswered questions. And people have tried over the last few centuries to explain why especially these really crazy witch hunts happened. And nobody's really got a definitive answer for what combination of ingredients led to this level of hysteria that led to, you know, this many people being executed, right?
Yeah.
I guess mob mentality, maybe.
For sure. And we're seeing it right now with, you know, everything from the satanic panic to QAnon right now, right? Like,
yeah,
these ideas
true.
Of people getting kind of whipped up into a frenzy that there is a conspiratorial cabal of powerful, some sort of Some sort of other, usually someone who's actually disempowered in that society. So with the Maleficus, it's about women. It could be about, you know, it often seems to come back to Jews lately.
Always,
right? Whoever it is, it's someone other than us who is actually a disenfranchised person, and I'm afraid they're coming for revenge. Right? And they're actually secretly the ones that have all the power, and that's the idea of these witch cabals. So, the Malleus went through 28 editions between 1486 and 1600. This is a widely printed book.
Wow, that's a lot of it. Like, normally books would not go through that many editions, right? Like, that just seems like a lot for that time.
Especially over, again, we're looking at, about 150 years here.
Yeah.
It was seriously popular. It triggered some of the most severe witch hunts happened between about 1580 and 1630. And the last known execution for witchcraft was in Switzerland in 1782.
Wow.
Oh, 1782. Yeah. My brain went to 1982 and I was like, what the fuck?
And again, outside of the Eurocentric world, that still happens. But I really just don't want to get into
it's
all very upsetting and horrible.
It's really hard to research at this point, too. It's still ongoing.
So here's the idea behind why women were considered more likely to be witches. Women are considered more permeable and thus more vulnerable to demonic influence.
Accurate.
If I'm going to be honest with you, by the way, I'm going to read a couple of more really strange explanations. And my personal opinion is this really just comes down to clerical celibacy. It's a bunch of horny dudes who feel that everything a woman does that makes him really want to break that vow of celibacy must be on purpose.
Damn women and their vaginas.
I demand an apology.
Right, on behalf of women everywhere, we all apologize for our terrible vaginas.
The ye old, she deserved it because did you see what she was wearing?
Oh, yes.
There was a concept also that women's wombs were cold, and therefore there was an insatiable hunger for the warmth of a man's...
Yes. Oh, that's good. What's actually it is our hearts are cold, not our wombs, but go on.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you for clarifying that 600-year-old mystery.
That's what I hear.
That was the problem. I never bothered to ask a woman.
Right? My God. If I had just spoken to a fucking woman about this, so much could have been explained. Instead of writing a whole book as though I understand women inside and out. A witch was fundamentally an adulteress, right? She had entered a relationship with something outside of her husband, in this case, an incubus. Yeah, you're going to notice this is a pattern. It's all about sexual anxiety here. It's all about men's sexual anxiety. The woman is cheating on me with a demon. They are supposed to be in a sexual relationship. The idea is that when she bonds with one of these demons, with one of these incubi, she is fucking it.
Well, yeah, obviously. What else do you do with it? Come on, Sean. Pull your head out of your ass.
At a deeper level, this is just Catholic fanfic cuckold porn.
Yeah, pretty much. Here's where it gets crazy, because the woman is supposed to get impregnated with her changeling child via the changeling. That's a different thing. But she's supposed to get impregnated as part of sealing the deal with these incubi. But incubi are immaterial spirits. So what they need is for a man to have sex with a succubus. And then the succubus passes his jizz to the incubus, who then puts the jizz inside of the female witch.
Right.
That just sounds like artificial insemination with more steps.
Yes, you're correct. But it's like a demon steps. So it's evil and bad and real.
To you, evil and bad. Never mind. I don't know where I was going.
Well, one thing that occurred to me was that sex magic is especially kind of post Aleister Crowley and like the 20th century has become kind of a big thing, and especially treating these sexual fluids as sacred. And I think it kind of at least partially derives from this idea that exchange of bodily fluids and sexual acts is like a key component of magic and witchcraft, especially when you're thinking from like a Satanism point of view. But that's as far as I actually looked into that idea. In terms of what or the book focuses on, the practice of witches, a huge portion of the text is dedicated to a crime that they consider tantamount to murder, taking away a man's penis.
Oh my God. No greater sin. I mean, it's the entirety of our identity, right, Sean?
Exactly. No, if I didn't have it, I would immediately just kind of implode on myself like the house at the end of Poltergeist.
Exactly.
Well, you're no longer needed in this world if you don't have a dick, so.
Well, the fact is Kramer goes to a heck of a lot of trouble. I'm serious. Like, there is a huge chunk of the text of this book that talks about whether or not when the man's penis is disappeared, is it actually gone, or is it an illusion that it's gone and that just, you know, the penis is still there, but nobody can see or feel it anymore.
This is just a really long con to have somebody touch his penis. They're like, I know it looks like it's there, but it's an illusion. Look, you have to reach out for it and try to grab it. It's the only way to be sure.
Magicians have been trying this trick on women forever, apparently.
It's she turned me into a newt, but I got better. It's like, she took my penis away. Flashes a woman. Clearly his penis is still there. And she's like, oh, I got better.
Praise God.
It's elaborate plagiarism. Okay, and here's an exact quote from the book on the subject of why women are more likely to become witches. Quote, the second reason is that the way they are made makes them naturally prone to leak, and this renders it easier for individual spirits to make an impression upon them by giving them revelations.
What?
This constitution of theirs means that when they use it well, many women are good. But when they are wicked, it makes them worse. The third reason is that they have a lewd, slippery tongue and have difficulty in concealing from fellow women those things they know by means of their evil skill. And because they do not have physical strength, they find it easy to assert themselves in secret through acts of harmful magic.
Oh, that's great.
This, again, one of the most popular books in Europe, probably second bestseller to the Bible at certain points.
I feel like my hand is just going to be permanently attached to my face for this episode. Just face palm.
He then praises Jesus for exempting men from this on the grounds that Jesus was a man.
Well, yeah, obviously. Yes. I mean...
Quote, consequently, it should not be called the heresy of men who do works of harmful magic, but of women who do works of harmful magic, so that the derivation is taken from the party with the better claim to it.
So they're using the only biblical example of a woman getting pregnant from a source not her husband as the paramount example to follow? Like, why we've been exempted?
And yet, if that were to happen, it would be, frankly, it would be called heresy and probably the result of an incubus. Are you seeing inconsistencies here?
That's so bizarre.
It's pretty fucking weird. Like, the doctrine is very, very weird. Okay, I want to wrap this up with a couple of stories that Kramer uses as evidence.
Oh, good. Yes, evidence. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. One of the stories that he uses in the book as evidence of things that happen in real life is the story about a nun who ate some lettuce, which was not a lettuce, but an evil spirit in the form of lettuce. Or the spirit was on the lettuce itself, all because she didn't make the sign of the cross before eating the lettuce. And immediately she was possessed by the devil and fell flat on her face. And during the exorcism, the devil spoke through her mouth, "What have I done? What have I done? I was sitting on top of the lettuce and she came along and ate me."
So wait, the devil was contrite about...
The devil didn't mean to get possessed. None. He was just sitting on some fucking lettuce and she ate him and she got possessed. To the point where the devil's like, "What the fuck happened?"
Hey, I was just minding my own business, hanging out on some lettuce.
Some
here comes
lettuce.
This bitch. She comes all up in here being like, "Oh, I'm too fat. Wow, wow, wow. I'm going to eat a salad."
The father of all evil just hanging out on some lettuce.
Even the devil was like, ew, I'm a woman now! Stop it!
Oh god, where's my penis? Where's my penis?
That's how evil it is to be a woman, is even the devil cries about it.
There was also the story of a town where there was a plague that turned out to be because of a dead witch who was in her grave slowly eating her burial shroud. And the plague would stop after she had eaten the whole thing. They end up digging her up and they beheaded her because they saw that, in fact, a bunch of the shroud was now in her mouth and down her throat. And apparently that did the trick. One that's less like absurd and more like that's actually creepy as shit.
I think you buried her alive, and then she wanted to end it quickly, so she just suffocated herself by eating the shroud.
Well, she was probably, like, inhaling, like suffocating and just breathing in as hard as she could, and the shroud went down her fucking throat, right?
Yeah. Well, that's terrifying.
Right? Like, that's one of those, like, that's a horror movie. Like, that's actually fucked up.
That was definitely a murder. Like, somebody stuffed a shroud down her throat and was like, oh, she was a witch, it's fine! Just turn the ground.
Like, open
just turn the ground.
It's like open casket. She starts moving, and the funeral director's like, "No, I'm getting my fee." Just shoves his fist up.
I'm gonna eat this month. Fuck you, bitch.
So here's the ways of protecting yourself from witchcraft. One is eating salt.
How much salt? Pure salt?
I don't know.
Can I cook it in things?
I don't know, but maybe that's why there's less harmful witchcraft these days, because we have such a modern diet that's very high in sodium.
That's exactly what it is. That's why I eat 5 cup of noodles a day.
We've talked about that. You shouldn't do that.
The other two options to protect yourself are go to church. Go figure. Or be an inquisitor.
Oh, well, there you go.
Is that like a
remote course that you have to do? Do you have to pay a fee? Like,
probably, I imagine. In fact, you could make a decent side hustle out of training and appointing inquisitors online.
That's it. I've got this weekend workshop, Sean. It's a one-time thing. I've got this free book for $10. Oh, wait. No, hold on.
No.
Wait a second. That's our previous episode.
You got to work through the levels.
Escalating commitments. So here's the ways that witches attempt to corrupt people. Taking or destroying their belongings so they become depressed and ask the witch for help.
It's so childlike. Give me your toy. It's my toy now.
Killing their livestock is a big one. One that tends to come up a lot is killing and eating and sacrificing babies.
Obviously.
Again, has some similarities to, again, Satanic Panic, QAnons, things like that. Nothing is new under the fucking sun. Kramer also warns that witches that you put to torture and that you're promising to execute painfully will often try to take their own lives, and here's his quote on the subject. I have often had the experience of hearing all those I have had burned confess that they have not inflicted their magical injuries willingly. Likewise, after confessing their crimes under torture, they always make haste to take their own lives. The enemy makes them do this so that they may not obtain pardon through contrition of the sacrament of confession.
Wow.
Yep, he's saying that when you torture people and say you're going to burn them alive, the reason they're trying to hang themselves in their cell is because the devil's making them do it.
Wow. Yep.
Yep. That's cool. No notes.
The point is, then as now, torture works.
Torture totally works. quoting a woman giving advice to, by the way, this one's just fun. So apparently a woman gave advice to a guy who woke up to find his dick was gone and he suspected it was his ex-girlfriend. Quote, when a friendly approach does not work in your favor, it's a good idea for you to use violence to induce her to restore your health. The story ends with him choking his ex-girlfriend with a towel until she gives back his dick.
I'm sorry, if my girlfriend chopped my dick off, I would also choke her. Wait, hold on.
What? So she gave you your dick back, Kelly?
Yes, it's very important to me.
I just realized, what if these guys are just getting really fat? And they're putting on so much weight that you can't see their dick anymore. They're like, did she stole it?
I can't see it!
It's just gets so cold and just shrivels up a little bit.
I can't see my dick and my wife doesn't want to have sex with me anymore. It's the devil! So the writer really lets out his ugly side on the question about whether evil spirits can essentially frame somebody for a crime by taking their shape, which is something that is part of the discourse. What he says on the matter is that God wouldn't let that happen. If it does happen, it's because God allows this type of harm to come to a sinner as opposed to the righteous, because God wouldn't allow the innocent to be suspected in a crime.
Some OG bootstrapping right there.
Holy shit. crikey.
I gotta process that one. Ding.
Yeah, I'm an infallible inquisitor. I can't be targeted by witchcraft because I'm an inquisitor. And if I accuse you, you did it because God wouldn't let you be framed.
I feel like husbands everywhere are like, yeah, that sounds like my wife. Yeah, this is on track. Yes. Yeah.
And one last thing I want to bring up from this, because it's just so random, but I love it, is the concept of magical archers, which is sort of a weird offshoot of witchcraft that just pops up for one chapter and is never discussed again. But apparently these magical archers make a specific type of deal, so they are so accurate that they can shoot a penny off of someone's head. On Good Friday, they have to do a ritual of shooting at a crucifix. They are obliged to fire 3 or 4 arrows a day, each of which will kill someone. And to do this, they have to pay homage to the devil, both body and soul.
Yeah, okay. So if you're into archery and you're into Satan, there's a place for you in Satan's army.
Like this idea that they're just this off-brand of witches that are just like killing 3 to 4 people a day with arrows.
Yeah, in these super small communities, like, yeah, well, you know, we used to have a town here, but I had to keep my archery skills up. So everybody's dead.
Everyone's
dead. 3 weeks.
Yeah, the Inquisitor comes to town, finds one person there with a bow and arrow who is also dead now because they ran out of people to murder. It's like, well, something happened here. And then, of course, there's the idea of changeling. So I kind of misnomered them before. The idea of a changeling is that your baby has been swapped out for a demon baby. It's thin and never stops crying. No amount of milk will feed it.
That sounds like every baby I've ever met in my life.
Yep. They're supposedly
a lucky baby. Yeah.
Yeah. They got some semen from a succubus after banging a dude. So yeah. Oh yeah. This does come back to what I was talking about before. Now I remember. So yeah. If you get some semen from a dude who fucks an invisible succubus, that succubus gives the semen to an invisible incubus, and then that incubus fucks a woman, that kid will be a changeling who is actually an evil spirit that looks like a child. They are heavy, they stay thin, they don't grow, they can't be satisfied by any amount of milk, and often they just eventually vanish. And apparently, this is somehow punishment for women loving their kids more than their husband.
Little bastards.
That's what you get for having that emotional connection. That'll teach you.
Again, it all comes back to my wife isn't fucking me as often.
Glad to see that male insecurity is a time-honored tradition among our ancestors, too.
Yep. We just can't seem to shake it. So that brings us, of course, to the trying of witches. So a judge must swear an oath with 3 fingers pointed up, reference to the Holy Trinity, and 2 fingers pointed down, damnation of body and soul. I could not find if that is meant to be, you know, like, on the one hand. Or 2 hands.
Polydactyl for the win, I guess, if it's got to be by one.
Well, because technically speaking, if you do it with the right 2 fingers pointed down and the other 3 pointed up, you're making the devil horn symbol, the rock on symbol, which I think I want to imagine that's what that is.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And there's no way for your other finger to be pointed down. Like, I'm doing this with my hands right now, everybody. This is very scientifical. Yes, scientifical is a real word. And your thumb actually points to the left or the right. Your thumb can't point down ever.
Well, the problem is
right, yeah.
The thumb is not a finger.
Oh, you're right. That's true. So if you have 3 up, then you can only have 1 down. So you do need 2 hands. God damn it.
The accused must answer repeated questions
Oh, Sean. Oh, and Kelly, let's go on.
And I'm done with all y'all's bullshit. Let's keep on moving.
The accused must answer repeated questions regarding their reputation, as their reputation is in fact considered a form of evidence. Clearly, this is a very paranoid, gossip-fueled world. Coincidentally, witches lose their powers when they've been arrested, particularly if they're not allowed to touch the ground. So, no, they're never going to give you a demonstration of their powers, because now that they're in chains, they can't do it anymore.
That's so convenient.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Makes perfect sense. Devil's sprinkle like that, you know? He's a tricky, tricky son of a bitch.
The examination of the accused can take place in a torture chamber, even if the intention is not to commit torture, and they can only be executed if they confess. If they don't confess in trial, but the judge thinks there's enough evidence to convict, then she will be tortured until she does confess.
Wow. Well,
I mean, if you put them in the room, you got all the implements out, you might as well.
Yeah, you didn't clean any of the instruments, you know, you've...
Well, cleaning is the devil.
Yeah, exactly, right? He instructs that the accused is to be strapped to a torture device, but with fake hesitation. Act like you're not excited to torture her. Act like you want to be like the good cop in all of this.
Also, don't get giddy and excited and like giggle and prance around.
Act like it's like, oh man, I don't want to have to do this.
Samuel, you have to wipe that smile off your face. We've talked about this before.
but we're about to see all of the red stuff inside of her.
I know we're all very excited, but no.
But aren't you excited to see the red stuff inside of her?
I am tumescent, but we mustn't show it.
Oh, can I just wear a bag over my head again?
Of course, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm smiling underneath the bag.
And I'm smiling underneath my frock.
And I'm smiling underneath my pants. Oh no, it's gone!
Oh no!
Witches!
It couldn't have been me, because my powers don't work. I'm arrested, obviously. You have to look elsewhere.
Yeah, and so here's where it gets kind of cruel. So the idea is, after you've strapped her to the rack or whatever torture device you're using, you then untie her at the last second and offer a chance to confess.
Oh, yeah, classic.
The judge is even encouraged to swear that they will not be executed if they confess. Because the author, Kramer, actually offers some loopholes, such as suddenly resigning the case so that another judge can step in and then burn her. Or just imprison her for a bit until the legal records are kind of, at the back of the drawer, and then burn her later.
When in doubt, we'll eventually burn you. Don't worry about it.
So it's full-blown, like, lie and find loopholes in the system so that you can say you're not going to burn her if that gets you the confession you want. Because
I'm so glad that we have come so far in our legal, like, our cops and everything. I'm so glad that we've moved so far from this.
That we're not manipulating and coercing confessions out of people that didn't actually do it just so we can have a higher clearance rate. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, he acknowledges that torture can be ineffective because some people will confess to anything because they're unhinged, whereas others won't break no matter what. So he actually says torture can be extended over 2 or 3 days, but not repeated. If someone doesn't break under the torture, they are to be set free.
Eventually, after put in jail for a little while and then tortured again.
Well, the key is you get that confession, right? Like, yeah, you want to get that confession no matter what happens. But yeah, theoretically speaking, if you could endure 3 days of torture, and you have to remember, if you've ever been to medieval times, medieval torture is a whole other level of torture.
Wait, are you implying that just going to medieval times is torture enough, or like that they show you torture at medieval times?
I'll never tell. Ain't I a stinker?
This episode has been sponsored by
Medieval Times.
Pirates Times.
Modern Times. It's just a couple of people wearing shorts punching each other.
And you get McDonald's. But you have to pay like $50 to go there and watch it.
Exactly, right?
I feel like Sean got taken to a special room during his time at Medieval Times that nobody else knows about. And I'm really worried for him now.
I'm not
it's
supposed to talk about that.
Little boy, come here. We have a special room.
All right, so let's talk about the decline of witch hunts and why it's really hard to make that a side hustle today. So, oddly enough, the evolution of the Inquisition probably slowed things down because they made the rules more and more strict. This is according to Britannica.com, quote, it investigated whether the charges resulted from personal animosity towards the accused. It obtained physician statements. It did not allow the naming of accomplices, either with or without torture. It required the review of every sentence, and it provided for whipping, banishment, or even house arrest instead of death for first-time offenders.
Oh, okay. Well, first-time offenders, we're going to go easy on you.
Mm-hmm. Did not expect
that. And that is something that comes up in the Malleus, is the idea that if it's their first time and if they repent, then you can maybe not do the execution thing, but you know, you brand them. So if it happens again, then you kill them, right? Like, there's...
Sarah,
in a bizarre sort of...
tell us you are sorry for killing Henry's goat, and we'll let you go this time.
Well, this is what makes this movement so malicious, right? Like, it's deeply misogynistic, but it frames itself. And I think folks like Kramer genuinely believed that they were coming from a benevolent place, because these confessions and the burnings are meant, and the torture are actually meant to save their soul.
Right. Like, I mean, in every bad guy's mind, they're really not the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. And that is why it was a dangerous fucking thing. And these ideas were so pervasive.
I'm just seeing the situation where a woman gets branded, leaves the town because you don't want to stay in the town where you're branded, goes to the next town, another inquisitor comes up and says, oh, look, she has the mark of the devil. Put her up on the rack.
Well, she has to have first developed some rumors about her before any of that happens, right? Like, she
had a mark. Like her, you know, like she has to have made it clear to show that it was burned into him.
Essentially, what ended up happening is the procedure behind charging and trying someone for witchcraft became so laborious and expensive that people just kind of stopped doing it.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Uh-huh. This is expensive, so we're just going to stop caring.
Yeah, because Think about, like, the Salem witch trials. It was so easy. You called someone a witch. They were immediately put on trial. They were probably found guilty because there was all the evidence was invisible stuff. And then you hanged them. Easy peasy. You didn't like somebody. They were dead a few days later. But yeah, eventually, like, there were appeal processes and, you know, they had to, like, you had to actually show up to court to testify, and like, oh, and it costs so much money. So maybe we shouldn't just burn people.
I guess.
And forget doing it as a side hustle. Just getting one accused person to the point of burning suddenly became your full-time job. So
how much money can you make off of it?
Well, it was a living. I mean, I'm pretty sure Kramer...
It's a living.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you wanted, like, the equivalent, I think, of, like, most middle-class jobs usually were tied to the church in some way back then. Anything that involved education, essentially, right?
True, yeah.
So, how to become a medieval-style witch hunter in 6 easy steps.
I like that there's 6 and they're easy.
You know, I always finish these episodes with a 5 or 6, whatever number of steps.
Well, I just said 6 because, you know, if you add a couple more 6s, you've got the mark of the devil.
So...
I like that. I mean, anytime I say mark of the devil, I need that sound effect now. Thank you.
So, step 1, get appointed by a holy authority or eat a lot of salt.
Or eat a lot of salt. Either one will do.
Yeah, if you're going to be protected from witchcraft, you either have to be an inquisitor or eat salt by the fistful. So one of those two.
A real quick thing about salt. Salt in this period was incredibly rare. So was this just a means to make sure that only affluent people were able to be inquisitors?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, boy.
All right, what about in today's world?
Well, I also think, like, making salt holy was a really good way of making sure that even poor people were finding a way to get salt in their diet.
Gotcha.
Because you need it to live.
Yeah, it's important. neurotransmission is essential.
Yep. I don't know if you've ever been, salt deprived, if you've ever, like, gotten so dehydrated that it was your salt levels and your electrolyte levels that were fucked, but it hurts a lot. It's a horrible, horrible physical sensation. Every muscle aches terribly. So eat your fucking salt, kids.
5 cup of noodles a day.
Step 2, get some big books, preferably in Latin. Some might assume the toolkit is all manacles and crosses and holy water and repeater crossbows and whatever. But bring that shit along too. But your ability to exert authority is going to come down to your book collection. Most of these villagers cannot read. You tell them you have all the knowledge of the occult contained in your tomes? You're the wizard. You're the fucking one that knows all everything. They will have almost no choice but to believe you. Those books could be filled with random scribbles.
Oh, most of my books that I've written gotten published are filled with random scribbles.
You've gotten published books?
Well, published is a sketchy word. What I mean is I just go and put them in local bookstores and libraries.
Well, I hide it in a bookshelf.
Every single book that I've ever read has random scribbles, but I also can't read, so it works out.
I just stare at him real, real hard, and I think that's how it works.
And then I wait for a picture page.
All my books are pictures and pop up and scratch and sniff.
Now, if anybody does ask you how the book, how the authors of the book that you're carrying were able to learn so much about the workings of the invisible world, just question their faith in front of their neighbors, and that'll shut them right the hell up.
Perfect.
All right, step three, get on the road. Populations weren't as dense as they are now, and the odds of finding more than one or two witches in any population center were pretty slim. That said, there are strategies you can employ to get the most out of each town, since travel is expensive and tiring. And again, we want this to be your side hustle. So that brings us to step four, learn the local gossip of whatever town you show up in. Remember, woman's reputation counts as evidence.
Right, right. Because, like, if you get the hearsay, like, oh, Sally's such a bitch. Yeah, she's such a bitch. Oh, she stole my lettuce last week. Oh,
she
I can't
stole
believe
my dick.
It. She did steal my dick, too. I mean, it's back now, but it was
I got
gone
better.
For a while.
Yeah, right? One time I choked her with a towel and my dick came back, so... Oh, shit, I just realized what that actually is. It took me until just now to realize what that story was actually about.
Oh, no.
Oh, fuck. Oh, that's dark.
That's good. That I'm going to take a moment here. And when you figured out in class, Sean, that that name of that theater company in grad school.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And you were
Oh. Yeah, I was the one that got laughed at, but I know many other people in the class were like, oh, shit, yeah, I hadn't figured that.
I was one of those people, for sure. I was like, oh, shit, I never put that together. But it wasn't me that did it at
that. DB8, yeah.
Yes. It's
like,
the dance company.
I just blurted it out in front of the professor and other boy. Yeah, that was embarrassing, but it was...
their name was a D, and then a V, and then the letter 8. So.
Right. Yep. like I said, a woman's reputation counts as evidence. So get a feel for which women have been, anybody have a crop failure they can't explain? Anyone been refusing to go to church? All leads are good leads here. So if anybody's been getting a side eye, you might be onto something.
I just wasn't feeling good, and that's why I didn't go to church on Sunday. I'm not a witch.
A likely story.
Don't worry. Fortunately, there is one way that we can absolutely discern whether or not your failure to attend church is a sign that you are a witch.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
I'm going to torture you for 3 days.
Fuck! Okay, I'm a witch. Let's just stop now.
So that brings me to... Yeah, exactly, right? Yes, yeah, so that brings us to step five. Do some torture. The essence of a good side hustle is a growth model. So you really want to put in... all of this work, travel to a faraway town, all to burn one witch?
Nah. That sounds ridiculous.
It sounds stupid when I say it like that, right? So get her to name names. Go full Salem on their ass. Then get those people to name names.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. All of
I'll
a sudden.
Go easy on you if you tell me five other witches. Okay.
Exactly.
See, and that was the brilliance of the Salem witch trials. You go to the teenage girls because they've got some axes to grind.
They've got some gossip, exactly. And then they name some names, and then, hey, I'm going to go easy on you if you name some names, and all of a sudden, half the town thinks the other half of the town is witches. Now you get to kill all of them. You're going to be there for months.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And then you rob them all and eat all their food and crops.
Right? Mm-hmm. All right, step six, collect some donations from the Grateful Church and be on your merry way. Ignore the consequences of your actions. You didn't just destroy half of this town's meaningful relationships and sense of neighborly trust out of spite for women you aren't allowed to sleep with. You did it for Jesus.
If oh, he Jesus!
If he were here, he'd have tortured and burned those women alive all by himself.
We're doing the Lord's work.
This is the Lord's work, torturing and killing innocent women. I mean, witches. I can't tell the difference. I'm a medieval cleric. So that's our episode on becoming a medieval witch hunter. Again, don't. It's bad. I'm sorry I even did this.
No. I feel like step one should really be find someone who's going to fund you to do this and then go on with the other steps. Because if you can't get someone to give you money for all of this, then in the end, you're just murdering people.
Yeah, and if you're just murdering people, then like you really have to start thinking about yourself and and your actions and your reasoning behind them. And that level of self-reflection does not belong in the Catholic Church.
The devil made me do it. He made me think too hard.
Oh, God. I know. I'm sorry, everybody. It's too easy and too upsetting. I gotta let out my frustration. So Dane, you are our guest for this week, so it is customary for us to ask you at the end, what did we learn today?
Okay, so today we learned that there's still plenty of opportunity to take this and form it into a new ideology, where perhaps you pick some other and ostracize them and make them the target of, well, start small, start with ridicule, and then you get other people to start supporting you, and when you have support, either whether it's papal or popular, you are more justified in your actions. And that way you can take the people that have wronged you, either literally, almost never, or in your own mind, pretty much always, and kill them and take their stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, well, that's a good lesson there.
Yeah, you know, just turn people on each other, destroy communities, make money.
America! Oh, wait, hold on.
All right, well, fuck. Thank you. fuck. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Partners in Crime, an exploration of weird, unethical, and less legal side hustles. I'm Sean O'Brien.
And I'm Kelly McDonald. We accept your credit cards and witches. Give us all your witches.
Oh, God. Don't forget the 3 digits on the back. Bye.
Bye!
Bye, everybody. Thanks for having me. I'm going to go cry now.
Oh, yeah, thanks for joining us, Dane. This was really great.